بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد قال الله تعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تكونوا كالذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبل فطال عليهم الأمد فقست قلوبهم وقال تعالى فما رعوها حق رعايتها صدق الله العظيم وعن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنهما قال قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا عبد الله لا تكن مثل فلان كان يقوم الليل فترك قيام الليل متفق عليه. Continuing with the chapter المحافظة, to protect and to persevere على ما اعتاده من الخير, upon those good deeds which one has become habitual of. In other words, if one has achieved a certain level of spirituality over and above the faraiz, that which is compulsory, then it is essential, important, like we mentioned yesterday, the two great enemies that we have with us all the time. One is our nafs and the other is shaitan, that will always try and dissuade us. When it comes to good deeds, when it comes to our nawafil particularly, ulama ikram mentioned about tahajjud on a daily basis, our wazaif, different sections of the Quran that we read. Likewise, our sunnat salah, our nawafil salah, etc. What we take on over and above the faraiz, what is matloob and desired in shariat, is that there should be dawam, there should be perpetuity, there should be istiqamat. Not that, mashallah, one night we stay up the whole night, and then for another 10 nights we don't get up at all. But if you can manage 2 rakats, or you can manage 4 rakats, if you can manage half an hour, then do that half an hour every day. أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلَّى. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah ta'ala loves that action in which there is dawam, in which there is perpetuity, even though it may be little. So this is what is matlub and desired in shariat, that we raise our level of spirituality and deendari in such a manner that we are able to maintain that. So the verses of the Quran, two already we discussed, the other two Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has mentioned. One is Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ. Do not be like the people of the book, referring to the Jews and the Christians. مِنْ قَبْلِ, do not be like them as they were before. فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. That a long period of time passed upon them and their hearts became hardened. The long period of time referred to in this verse of the Quran is the time between them and the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. The picture that this verse paints is that if you look at the Jews particularly, or the people of the book of the past, Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam would be sent to them, they would make effort upon them. And what would happen is, as a result of the effort of Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, they would come unto dindari, piety, taqwa, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then that Nabi would pass away. And as Quran paints the picture, فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ, as the distance or the period between them and the Nabi that was sent to them increased, then the dindari came out of their lives. فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, their hearts became hardened. Qasad qulubum, hardened with the love of dunya, with the pursuit of dunya, etc. And that dindari and that taqwa and that piety that was there, they lost that eventually. So Allah Ta'ala says, do not be like them. In other words, pertinent to what we're discussing, hold on, be steadfast upon your deen. The next verse which Imam Nawawi mentions, فَمَا رَعُوهَا حَقَّ رِعَايَتِهَا, literal translation, is that they did not observe it as they ought to observe it. This refers to specifically the Nasara, the Christians of the past, that they took on a very high level of what we call monasticism, asceticism, where they cut themselves off completely from the dunya. And they regarded this as being a means of taqwa and piety. Obviously, Allah Ta'ala says, رَهْبَانِيَةً اِبْتَدَعُوهَا مَا كَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ. We did not ordain them, we did not command them with this level of monasticism that they took upon themselves. And obviously, they were not able to maintain it. فَمَا رَأُوهَا حَقَّ رِعَيَتِهَا. That in itself is a long topic. We're not going into that now. The pertinence of this particular verse being mentioned in this context which we are currently discussing, فَمَا رَأَوْهَا حَقَّ رِعَيَتِهَا, they did not maintain it as they ought to maintain it. In other words, whatever dindari, taqwa, amal you are doing, maintain this, persevere upon it. From these verses of the Quran and the hadith we are going to discuss now, which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, as I mentioned, this is a very brief chapter, is just mentioned one hadith. We learn one very, very important lesson. It is worse to leave a good deed than actually not doing it in the first place. Sometimes a person will decide, you know what, let me for a short period of time take upon myself this particular good deed. I'm going to do it for a short time and then I'm going to leave it. It would have been better for you not to do it at all. This is what we learn. That don't take on something and thereafter leave it. Don't take it on for a short period of time. But whatever you take on, your spiritual development, even if it is gradual, let it be such that you maintain it. Not that you do and then you leave and then you start again and then you leave. This is what we learn from these verses of the Quran and from this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which Imam Nawawi rahimullah has brought. The question now arises is that what is wrong with doing something and then just leaving it? At least you did it for a little while. When Allah Ta'ala gives you the tawfiq and Allah gives you the ability to do something, if after that you leave it, it shows indifference to the ni'mat of the tawfiq which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Allah blessed you with the ability to do something. Value that. Don't show indifference towards that. Don't be ungrateful for the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at the lives of the Salafi Salihin, when they were habitual of anything good and they found for whatever reason they could not maintain that, they would become concerned, they would become worried. Like we find one person came to Ibrahim bin Adham rahimahullah and he said that, I used to make the Hajjud Salah. Now I find the weight of sleep too strong. I am unable to wake up for the Hajjud Salah. So Ibrahim bin Adham rahimahullah said to him, أَقْعَدْتُكُمْ ذُنُوبُكُمْ. Your excessive sins are causing you to be deprived of the tawfiq, of the ability of performing tahajjud salah. So in other words, if we were engaged in some good deed and we are not able to maintain and persevere upon that, we should be concerned. Why have I lost this ability or this blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which Allah gave me? Nevertheless, Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhuma is the narrator of the hadith. Interestingly, this particular sahabi, Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, different sahaba used to excel in different things. The greatest of sahaba or the highest position, as we know it is our iman, was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But it was not necessary that he would excel in everything. Certain sahaba, there were certain aspects which they would excel in. Amongst the Sahaba, Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu is known as A'badu Sahaba, the Sahabi who made the most ibadat. In fact, in the early stages, it was his ma'mool that he would make one khatam of the Quran every day and he would read tahajjud salah the entire night. Later on, obviously, he could not maintain that. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam prescribed for him to do a little bit less than that. But he is known as that sahabi who used to overly exert himself in the ibadat and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though he was very, very young. So nevertheless, he narrates that one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, Ya Abdullah, la takun mithla funan, kana yaqumu al-layl, fataraka qiyam al-layl. Muttafaqun alayh. Qiyam al-layl, or what we call tahajjud salah. This is something that is not farz, it is not obligatory in deen. So if a person is not making tahajjud, he will not get any guna for it. But it is also something that is greatly encouraged. In fact, in our work of Dawat and Tabligh, our akabirin, our elders tell us, they say the greatest etiquette, the greatest adab and etiquette of the work of Dawat and Tabligh is tahajjud salah. I remember when our Jamaat 1993 went to Raiwin, we met one of the ulama there in the Markaz. The first thing he told us, we were a group of South African ulama that had come for 1 year. So the first thing when he met us, he said, Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke fikr dil ke andar ho aur raat ka kuch hissa Allah ko nahi de raha hai ya namumkin hai. Agar raat ka kuch hissa Allah ko nahi de raha hai, iski matlab ye hai ke huzur ke fikr dil ke andar nahi hai. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said the worry of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the heart and some section of the night not given to Allah, this is impossible. If some section of the night is not being given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it means that the worry of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not in the heart. So this is a very, very greatly stressed etiquette and adab of our work of Dawat and Tabligh. And generally we find, even though it is sunnah, it's not farz, it is something that is greatly stressed in Quran and Hadith. And every one of us should endeavor that give some section of the night to Allah. The benefits of tahajjud are innumerable. We cannot even count how much benefit, how much of blessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in this particular great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, many of the ulama were of the opinion that for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tahajjud was farz. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would very, very rarely leave out tahajjud. It was a very, very greatly stressed sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the Quran, Allah ta'ala describes the night of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّكَ تَقُومُ أَدَنَا مِن ثُلُثَي اللَّيْلِ وَنِصْفَهُ وَثُلُثَ وَطَائِفَةٌ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ مَعَكَ. The mafum of the verse, Allah ta'ala says that verily your Rabb, addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, addressing him directly, Allah says, your Rabb, lovingly Allah addresses him. Allah knows that you are spending sometimes two-thirds, sometimes half the night in tahajjud. Now if the night in Madinah Munawwara in winter is 12 hours long, Quran is telling us that the tahajjud salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be 6 hours long. So to that extent, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So sunnah following Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and no tahajjud in our lives, this is ba'id. So it is important that we should try and develop this particular sunnah. Coming back to this hadith, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Abdullah bin Amr bin As that, Oh Abdullah, Ya Abdullah, this is a loving mode of affection to take the person's name like this. Ya Abdullah, Oh Abdullah, don't be like so and so. Don't be like so and so. In what sense? Kana yaqumul layl. He used to make tahajjud salah. Fataraka qiyam al layl. Then he gave up tahajjud salah. Allah blessed him with the tawfiq and ability of doing this, and thereafter he abandoned that. So Abdullah, do not be like that. The underlying message of this hadith in relation to this particular chapter, the goodness which Allah has blessed you with, persevere upon that. Be steadfast upon it. Hold on to it. Do not be a seasonal or a habitual Muslim. And the general message of this hadith is, the hadith stresses the importance of tahajjud salah. Allah give us tawfiq subhanahu wa ta'ala.